Big tobacco can still light up.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A couple months ago, a federal judge ruled that tobacco companies must stop labeling cigarettes as light, low tar, or mild. She said cigarette makers have been misleading the public for decades about the dangers of smoking. But yesterday, an appeals court put her ruling on hold. It means, for now, Big Tobacco can keep selling light and mild brands. The companies claim her ruling could cost them millions of dollars. Today, the Supreme Court hears a case about smokestacks. The question is, how should the government measure factory pollution? Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Factory owners want the feds to base their emission measurements on how much pollution is produced in a single hour. Environmentalists want the feds to tally net emissions over a longer period, such as a year. Alabama Solicitor General Kevin Newsom filed a friend-of-the-court brief in the case. He says companies won't do upgrades that could make the plants run longer if it'll cost them. Newsom says it's like making repairs to your car, costing more than it's worth.
The rational driver faced with that scenario, we'll just keep driving.
But John Walk of the Natural Resources Defense Council says that analogy won't work.
Power plant lobbyists use the analogy in order to mask the fact that what they want to do is causing the air to get dirtier.
If environmentalists win the case, companies might have to replace their aging plants. They say that would cost millions. But environmentalists say cleaner factories would mean less money spent treating diseases caused by pollution. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Nothing scary about Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell a tiny fraction, 5 points, to 12,080. The Nasdaq dropped 3 to 2366. The S&P 500 was flat. But Wall Street had a huge October. All three indexes gained at least 3%. The Nasdaq put on almost 5. Today, OPEC's first production cut in 2 years takes effect. The idea is to prop up the price of oil. But since the cut was announced, oil prices have mostly dropped. It seems traders are skeptical that OPEC will actually follow through with this. Jeff Tyler has more.
The skepticism is not misplaced, says Michael Lynch with Strategic Energy and Economic Research. He thinks foot-dragging by some OPEC members will mean only half the cuts will be implemented by month's end.
Especially when the price is close to $60, it's hard for the members to feel they should make strong sacrifices.
Economist Rakesh Shankar with Moody'sEconomy.com says OPEC hasn't been reliable when making threats in the past.
Because it is a cartel, it is a little more inclined to cheat. They do have a little more discipline now than I think the market is giving them. They really have reached a new phase where they're a little better organized than they used to be.
But even if OPEC does cut the full 1.2 million barrels a day, slower consumer demand could undermine the impact. Rather than boost the cost of oil, Shankar says the cuts could be considered a success even if they only stabilize prices or prevent a steep decline. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And this is Marketplace. Let's check the earnings desk this morning. Krispy Kreme is way behind on its profits reports. It just turned the numbers in for the fiscal year that ended in January. The donut maker lost $136 million for the year. That was better than the year before. Krispy Kreme says it'll catch up on the last several months soon. China's leading search engine is growing like, well, Google. Baidu made almost $11 million in the third quarter. That's, about 900% better than the same quarter last year. Still, Baidu's shares fell because its fourth quarter forecast was lower than expected. The movie studio DreamWorks Animation surprised Wall Street with a profit last quarter. DreamWorks had strong DVD sales of Madagascar. Shares climbed 4% in overnight trading. Today, we'll get reports from Burger King, MasterCard, and Time Warner. The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book exploring HR contributions to business, financial, employee, customer, and shareholder success. SHRM.org. And by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Singular is getting ready to jump into the music download business. The Wall Street Journal says the cell phone company is cutting deals with services like Napster, Yahoo Music, and eMusic. At first, people can transfer songs from a computer to a cell phone with a cable, but sometime next year, subscribers with the right cell phones will be able to download the music wirelessly. Republicans could lose one, if not both, houses of Congress in next week's midterm elections. At least that's what the polls are suggesting. People are pointing to a few big issues for the change of heart: Iraq, Katrina, gas prices, budget deficits. But commentator David Frum says there's another very important issue.
Here's one very important reason for Republican failure that won't be mentioned if the Democrats take Congress: immigration. Approximately 8 million migrants have arrived in the United States since George Bush became president, about half of them illegally. Americans have ambiguous feelings about this complicated issue, but the Republican rank and file are nearly unanimous. They want the borders controlled. Republican leaders, such as President Bush and Senator McCain, have defied the wishes of their supporters. They've proposed an amnesty in all but name, a substantial increase in permanent legal immigration, and a guest worker program. Anyone who has spent much time around Republican campaigns could feel party enthusiasm plunge as the president pushed his agenda through the summer and early fall. In a poll conducted just a couple of weeks after the president presented his immigration plan, only 30% of Republicans described themselves as enthusiastic about voting in November, as opposed to almost 50% of Democrats. In the same poll, 54% of Republicans rated their party's performance as poor in standing up for its principles. It may be true that some of the immigration debate is driven by xenophobia, but it's at least equally true that immigration is the populist face of the debate over inequality. In the past 6 years, the top 1% of Americans have done better than the top 5%, and the top 0.1% have done best of all. Returns on capital are increasing in the United States, just the effect you would expect from a huge increase in the supply of unskilled labor. Republican voters do care about equality and a fair shake in the labor market. Indeed, the more socioeconomically equal a city, county, or state is, the more likely it is to vote Republican. For example, places like the Norfolk, Virginia Beach metropolitan area, or St. Charles County, Missouri, or the whole state of Nebraska. These Republicans experience the failure to enforce the immigration laws as a monstrous breach of faith by their party leaders. If the polls are right, those party leaders will soon pay a heavy price.
David Frum is a former speechwriter for President Bush and a resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Your comments are always welcome. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Even smokers will